Thanks for joining me, Craig Charlie, Tennis Australia CEO, about to join me, and Australian Grand Prix CEO Andrew Westacott not far away as well. But it is good to talk a little bit of tennis. Those that are in charge of sports in Australia and around the world are trying to draw up some sort of planning for best case scenario and worst case scenario, and tennis here in this country trying to work out what it might look like in a few months' time as well in this country. Craig Tiley, part of that planning process as the CEO of Tennis Australia. Welcome to you, Craig. Great to have you on the program.
Hi, Duane. Good to be talking again under these crazy times.
What do you see on the horizon immediately, Craig, before we talk about the bigger picture and the Australian Open? The government's allowing tennis to be played in this state as of tomorrow, and I presume that means people are going to be hitting courts just like they're hitting golf courses tomorrow. What do you think the immediate future for tennis around this state is going to look like?
Well, in this state and across the country, really positive. I mean, tennis is a sport you can naturally social distance. You can, you know, the practicing the hygiene protocols and recommendations is fairly straightforward. And we encourage all of our tennis players and our volunteers and that to do that and to follow the guidelines and the principles that we've set forth across the country. But I think tennis has been healthy. We've had many states that have opened up earlier. And in WA, for example, you allow 10 people on the court, and it has been like that for a couple of weeks now. So so tennis has got back early and is one of the early adopters here in Victoria. So in that sense, tennis has been lucky.
And coaching can resume tomorrow with groups of 10 or less?
Yep. And so coaching can resume, and, you know, you can do, there's a number of different ways you approach coaching, you know, playing singles, playing doubles as well. And the great thing about our sport, obviously, it's an attractive sport from young age all the way through to senior years. And I know there's a lot of people that want to get out there and have an exercise. You can have a hit of singles. It can be on a court with a small group of people, and it probably won't look much different to what we see under normal circumstances, other than the fact that the interstate travel for tournaments and competitions is not there yet.
And when you try and look further a couple of months into the future, what does it look like, even to the point of, you know, November, December, are you starting to plan for what the opportunity might be if India come here and play a test series against Australia, for example? If they get the go-ahead to do that in the coming weeks, then all of a sudden it opens it up for other professional sporting people to come to Australia and play at some stage in the future as well this summer.
Well, that's right. And all the sports are working closely together, and us in cricket particularly, because we both have on the horizon international travel. You know, cricket and tennis, we rely on individuals, it's individual in many ways, but also team. But we do rely on international travel, and we rely on mass gatherings. And obviously, mass gatherings we can manage, but international travel, you have to have the talent come from overseas to here. And soccer is the same. We're not a domestically focused sport. We're more globally focused sport. So that is a challenge for us we've got to overcome. So we're working closely with those sports on how we manage it and what kind of quarantine bubble or quarantine channel you create and what's acceptable to both the state and the federal governments on that, because we make sure we've got to follow those principles and guidelines, and then how can we do that, bring the players in, and then how can we manage the fans? What can we do from a social distancing point of view, and can we get back to mass gatherings? For us, it'll be in January, and it's going to likely be, we're planning for a scenario of an Australian Open in January with Australian and New Zealand fans. If we get to international fans by then, it'll be great. We think that's a bit of a long shot, but we hope we have a solution which we are working furiously on, have a solution for international travel for the stars of the game, the professionals.
So best case scenario with the fans, do we see social distancing in the grandstands and no roofs closed, just everything played open air, so it might open up the parameter, get more people in, and, you know, drops in ticket prices? What are we looking at there if we get lucky?
I think, Duane, a lot of those are questions I cannot answer, because just going to depend a lot on if there's a second spike, a third spike, when does that happen? How's that managed? We think here in Victoria, the government, in our view, has done a great job on managing the crisis to date, and it's up to us now on how we pick it up and what discipline we have around the way we behave. And I think that's going to be really important for sport. If the community wants sport back, we need to sign up to the app, and we need to um, and, and we need to practice what we've been told to do. And if we do that, we're going to be in a good place. And if we're in a good place, then I think we can have fans. And I don't know by then. Hopefully, we've got a solution where you don't have to social distance as much as we do now. But if we don't, we're going to be prepared. You know, stadium, you know, Rod Laver Arena fits 15,000, and then we've got a plan on how we would manage people in from a social distancing point of view. It's not that straightforward, but by then we'll hopefully have it straightforward. So there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but every single day we work closer towards normalcy, and because we, like everyone else, wants to return to normal as soon as we can.
If you had international travel allowed for the players, but we still didn't have fans at events, could you see an event, an Australian Open happening without crowds?
Yep, we can see that happening. That's not ideal for us. We prefer not to have that. But if it's an opportunity to have content that we can globally televise and domestically televise and have the great players play, we'll absolutely take that as an option, because the next worst-case scenario is no Australian Open at all. So we prefer to have something, and it's just how good that something is, and our goal is to make it as good as possible.
And what if... there's no spike in a place like WA and they get zeros for 4 months and we do continue to get some numbers in Victoria. Could you possibly take the Australian Open elsewhere if crowds were allowed elsewhere to another state?
Oh, we look at everything, but I think that's unlikely. It's the month of January. The facility you've got to have for the Australian Open is substantial. And that's the beauty about Melbourne Park and Melbourne, there's an unmatched facility comparative to the stadia we have and the outside courts and the number of courts we have in that close to the city. So that's going to be our focus would be. But everything's always on the table. But you know that scenario is not something that we've got in our planning.
And what about an earlier get together of international players? If Australia continues to be one of the leading countries in the world when it comes to getting zeros, would players come here earlier and play some sort of other tournament here in Australia ahead of time?
You know, that's a really good point. And I think a lot of people are missing that a little bit. I think there's two things. That one is what's been missed is that even though we may be more open and we've done a great job, is that you've still got to build confidence in players to get on an airplane and fly here. And, you know, it's like entertainment stars and, you know, sports stars, it's not that straightforward. They're just going to pick it up and go and run risks of getting sick. However, Australia has been recognized globally as a country that's really managed this well. And we've got a low infection rate. As long as we keep the reproduction rate low, keep it below one, and we do the right things and we discipline as a nation, we've got the best chance to come back the soonest and get our economy back up and going again and getting sporting events back up and going again. And then I believe because of that, we have the opportunity to bring the international playing community here earlier in December, maybe play other events, play all the leading events, play the Australian Open. That's an opportunity that's in front of us, but a lot will depend on between now and then how we manage the spread of this virus.
Yeah, that'll be massive for all states. It wouldn't just make, for example, Kooyong's event bigger, but it could make it longer. Adelaide's event could be massive as well. Queensland, you could have every state could be vibrant with a division of players around the country playing tennis in the lead up to the Australian Open.
That's right. And I think a lot of countries are thinking this way. You know, Australia, at the end of the day, we're an island. We've managed the influx of people from our borders well to the point where the infection rate's low. But it's an ongoing journey. I mean, I've, from a personal point of view, been a little concerned about, you know, some of the, when you go out to some of these places in the last couple of days, is the lack of discipline around social distancing. We absolutely have to do it. And if we do it, that we have the best chance of the economy rebounding faster and then also, you know, these events returning. So we have a vested interest as an organisation, as a sport, as an event, and as someone that contributes, as a group that contributes to the economic impact of the state. We have a vested interest in everyone doing the right thing, because that means we can get up and going as close to normal as possible.
And do you just talk to the governing body about stuff like this, getting to Australia early? Or have you spoken to individual players about the fact that they might be interested in coming here early?
Yeah, we think that's too soon, Dwayne, to do that, because, you know, there's still the US Open and French Open are still on the calendar for August and for September. We think that's going to be really hard to pull those off. Hopefully they do. We don't know where we're going to be. I think no one knew we'd be at this point 4 weeks ago. So we don't know where we're going to be, whether we're back in lockdown because of the second spike that's uncontrollable. you know, and it's very likely there's going to be a second spike. So how bad is that? Hopefully it's not, doesn't happen. So we don't know that, but this is all part of our thinking and our scenario planning. And when we get closer to the time, we'll be able to be more specific on it. But we really do want, you know, we want these other events to be up and running as soon as we can globally, and we're going to do whatever we can to help them get going. And then when it gets the eyes of the world back onto Australia, we're going to be helped by the fact that we've managed this virus and the spread of this virus well, and we probably need to take advantage of that as a nation. But that's as long as we've done it. It's still a long way away.
Great to have a chat to you, Craig. It's exciting, not just for Victorian tennis lovers, but Australian tennis fans, hearing the best-case scenario picture painted by yourself as to what might be an opportunity for other states as well. Great to have a chat to you, and we'll keep in touch. Thanks, Craig.
Anytime. Thanks, Dwayne. Stay safe.
Craig Tiley, Tennis Australia CEO. That update for Australian Made. Look for the green and gold Aussie Made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian made. That's the tennis perspective in this country from the CEO of Tennis Australia, the CEO of the Australian Grand Prix, Andrew Westacott. Next.